Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Somewhere along the line, somebody's got to play some defense. So really, I mean, as you said, entertaining, fun, yeah. Just interesting, which is really now all of a sudden they become the story. They are the story in the NBA. I don't care what anybody says. They're the must-see and to see how this thing is going to work and everything else. I just thought it was interesting. They can score on anybody, and they will score on anybody. The question is, and everybody said the same thing, who is going to play defense? And there's a lot of uncontested shots from underneath the basket for the Cavaliers. And it was great to actually see Taurean Prince and Jared Allen both be in the positive point area, while they were on the court, and both of them played well.
Yeah, and last night, because you always bring this up, and you brought it up prior to this past NBA draft, you know where Colin Sexton was selected in the 2018 NBA draft, right?
That's right.
The pick right before Kevin Knox. So the Knicks, it's always a pick right before the pick right after.
Yes.
There is a superstar being born. Now, Colin Sexton's got a long way to go, but last night, he was amazing.
How about the play he made on Kevin Durant when Kevin Durant was going in for a dunk?
Yeah.
And he basically, you know, he blocked the ball, saved the ball from going out of bounds, and unfortunately, he stepped out of bounds when he got the ball back. But that play was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he was all over the place. You know, a young guy like that, if I was a Cavs fan, I'd be thrilled about it because he rose to the challenge with the story being the opponent and not him and had a fantastic game. And then it was, what, 22 points in the overtimes? I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It was, it was a crazy game. It'd be interesting to see how Evan feels about it today. I always want to hear Evan's response or reaction to these things simply because so wrapped up in it.
Well, he's the Nets fan,
yeah,
man. Like,
I know,
he is.
He was
the guy that was there through all the bad times.
I don't know. I can't believe I sat there and watched this thing. I mean, because normally I don't watch the Nets. I don't really care about the Nets.
Yeah.
But they made themselves relevant now with these three guys. There's no question about that. And plus, Kyrie Irving was back last night. But again, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to have to play defense. You know, the one thing I was thinking about this, when the Miami Heat put their guys together, Bosch, Wade, and LeBron, they all are defenders. They all defend as well as put the ball in the
absolutely
basket. And that is different than these guys. These guys are clearly wide open, dribble the basketball, get in the flow of the game, shoot it, score, and then go back and stand around.
Well, I mean, even the Warriors, too. I mean, if you think about Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala. I mean, you could say that, you know, Stephon Curry wasn't the Stephen Curry. Now they're making me say it. Stephon Curry. Stephen Curry, not Stephon, like we had in our IDs for 10 days. Stephen Curry was certainly not the greatest defender in the world. But they defensively, I mean, they had some guys who played some defense. Now, you know, some of the best defenders that the Nets had, you know, left in the deal, Jared Allen being at the top of that list. So that's something, yeah, they're going to have to figure out. You know, offensively, and Kyrie said it after the game, you know, offensively, we have to be better even though we scored all these points because it wasn't enough. I mean, it's really about the offense was enough. The defense wasn't enough when you have a guy like Colin Sexton going crazy. And as far as Kyrie, I mean, he played well. He came out. He scored a ton of points right off the jump. And he was, after the game, he was calm, cool, collected, said all the right things about the team and everything else. And you're thinking, oh, wow, you know, Kyrie's back. And Kyrie seems grounded, and Kyrie's going to be here for a while. But with the track record, you have no idea when that's going to turn. But even though they lost the game, you know, night one so far so good with Kyrie coming back. It's not like he had some sort of meltdown out of the court.
But they lost the game, and the worst part of losing the game is how many points they gave up in the
game. Oh, yeah, of course. Especially, you know, it's not like you're playing the greatest offensive team in the history of the league in the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, I mean, it's
but
not.
How great must that feel if you're a Cavalier, if you're Jared Allen and you're Taurean Prince and you're in the locker room after the game.
And they contributed in the game too.
A guy, I have to tell you, that has to be the most unbelievable feeling for those guys.
That's satisfying for sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is going to be a spectacle. It's going to be fun to watch every night. It is. I mean, I know that we are openly hoping that they don't win a championship.
I think Richard Jefferson said it last night. He goes, look, man. These guys are circled on everybody's, essentially saying they're circled on everybody's schedule. They are going to be getting everybody's best effort.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be covered like these teams that we have seen and maybe even scrutinized even more because you could make the case that these three guys are the most famous, most popular, three biggest superstars that have ever been in a big three. You could make that case.
Yeah, you sure you could. And by the way, they gave up 147 points.
Well, it's double overtime, though.
But still 147 points.
Right.
I mean, you know, the Knicks gave up less than that. Didn't they give up less than, well, I gave about 150 points, maybe a little bit longer, in two games.
Yeah, I mean, we still have to point out double overtime. That does count.
Still 150 points, man.
Yeah. I would like to see them, too. Like, when we talked about the Warriors at their best with Kevin Durant, it was ball movement. It was a lot of passing. It was offense that was impressive. You know, there was a lot of isolation stuff last night. It was like, all right, you know, James Harden's got the ball. James Harden's going to do it. He had a triple-double again, so he did have some assists. But, you know, James Harden's got the ball. This is his possession. Kyrie's got the
dribble,
ball.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble. No defense, no defense. New defense. Shoot.
Shoot.
Oh.
Shoot.
But it's so true. That fits everything that he said.
Well, sure.
I mean, those. Fits everything he said, man.
I mean, Kyrie and James Harden, those have been their careers. Now, James Harden, though, I mean, this is 2 out of 3 games that he's played as a Net where he's had a triple-double. So he's had well-rounded games. So it's not like he has been some sort of crazy, like, you know, selfish player. So we have to give him credit there.
There's an other end of the court, though.
I know. There's no defending that.
People keep forgetting about that.
No, people aren't forgetting. I mean, people talk about it all the time with the Nets.
You know,
they
it's
do.
It's like in football, every team that's left, and every team does a little bit differently, but I think, like, when you look at the Packers, the way that they have changed from who they were last year when they were 13-3 and lost in the NFC Championship game, and now have come back this year. They are such a more physical football team because they can run the ball. You know, and when Parcells came here and he was coaching here, and anybody who ever coaches here or New England with Bill Belichick, Buffalo up there with Sean McDermott, even though they're not, they don't really have the ability to do it because their quarterback is so dynamic, he does it more than the running game. I mean, everybody knows you have to run the football. That, you know, that determines who you are as a team. Mm-hmm. And even the Kansas City Chiefs want to run it with Damian Williams. They want to run him with, you know, and they want him to take some of the pressure off. But they also want to invoke their will on the other team. And you do that by being more physical and running the football and staying with it. And that's what the Packers have done this year with these three running backs and the way they are. And they play now great defense because of the way that their offense is playing. I think they feed off of one another. This now, watching the Nets, I mean, there are guys wide open.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
for the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. This is the first game. There were guys wide open.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, guys
like, how hard is it to play defense with five guys on
well,
the court?
Well, you know what defense is about. I mean, all of these age-old cliches about defense is a mindset, defense is a personality, it's about want to. I don't know if these guys care enough to do it.
I think back to the
day. On that end of the floor.
I think back to the day when I was an 8- or 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and we needed a stop in the garden. Defense, and we're all screaming it. And there's Clyde Frazier always coming up with the key steal, and then getting the 3-point play at the end of the other end of the court, you know, by getting a guy up in the air and then diving into him as he's shooting and making the shot and then making the free throw. And it's just like that's how you end up winning championships. Yeah, you got to score an offense, man, but you got to steal it. You got to play defense on the other end of the court, and that's going to be a telltale sign for this team, whether or not three great offensive players, three essentially Hall of Fame offensive players, are going to be able to stop the other team from scoring.
Yeah, and my example of what you just gave is the 90s Knicks and Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing and these guys being in your face and the intimidating nature of those teams, and you weren't going to get to the basket without getting an elbow to the side of your head. You know, I mean, those types of things are what you would love to see in today's NBA, but it doesn't happen anymore. You just have to play enough defense to be able to be pretty good. And, you know, the Rockets team, that the year that James Harden, probably his best offensive year, which ended in that loss to the Spurs in that game six we talked about where he barely showed up and then went out partying afterwards and talking about his whole story. Like, that Rockets team, James Harden, I think, finished second in the MVP that year to Russell Westbrook. You know, offensively, they were just insane. They were great. They were unbelievably efficient. You know, this team is with the Nets, they're better. Harden's got better players around him. There's no doubt about it. But both of these teams had something else going on, too. You know, Mike D'Antoni was coaching that team. Mike D'Antoni is on this staff. They don't play any defense. Mike D'Antoni was also the coach of, you know, that Suns team with Steve Nash when they started this whole thing, the 7 seconds or less. They didn't play defense. So at the core of this, you are right. They have to figure it out. The Golden State Warriors played enough defense. That LeBron-Miami team, that was a defensive team. So I don't know if they're capable of doing it. I just know the history of Kyrie and James Harden and, well, Kevin Durant to a lesser degree. They've never done it, ever. They've never been locked down defenders. So this is something that's going to have to change.
This is going to be wild, actually, that – watching these teams and see how many points they give up. You know, see if this is one of the worst defensive teams when they're collectively together.
You know, it kind of looks
in
like
the history of the league.
Kind of looks like you're wearing like a Nets shirt, like that Nets logo on there. It kind of looks like that, actually, with the microphone in front of it. I believe Evan has a shirt just like that with like the B and the circle and the colors.
Yeah, but it's the Victorinox or
Victorinox, right?
Victorinox, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I really thought, like, I just caught myself going, did you put on a Brooklyn Nets shirt?
No, I did not.
For this particular show?
I would not do that.
Is that what you just did? But you didn't. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see like how the fan bases the sort of quabble back and forth. Are there enough Nets fans that are going to be born out of this? Are the Knicks fans just going to be so happy every time a night like last night happens? Like, is there really? Because if you think about all the rivalries in New York, I mean, the fans don't like one another. But with the Knicks and the Nets, it's just getting started.
I just think the Knicks fan feels bad for the Nets fan.
They feel bad for the Nets fan?
Yeah. You know, don't you kind of feel bad for Evan?
Not anymore when it comes to the Nets, I don't.
Well,
I'm a little bit jealous about all the action they got. I got to be honest with you.
They do have a lot of action. There's no question about it. But are they going to win? Are they going to win a championship? That's the question. That's all why you bring these guys here. And this is why, you know, when you have the three most expensive big three ever put together and they don't play defense, are they going to be able to win a championship?
Yeah, so you're right. They could sweep the Eastern Conference Finals 4-0, go into the NBA Finals, go to a Game 7, go into overtime, lose Game 7 by 1 point, and this season would still be a disappointment. Like, that's where they've left themselves with
literally, it is the most expensive big three ever put together. When you think about the money that each of them are making, which is fine. They've earned it. I don't care about that. But the point is that's a number. And that number needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
So they're coming together. The Nets are all in on this, whether it be Joe Tsai or Sean Marks. And it's a very, very eye-opening, to me, debut. Meaning that there is something that is missing in a big way, and it's called defense.
Yeah, Nets fans are going to spin this, though. You know that they are.
They can spin it all they want.
They're going to spin it like, this is a great debut. Kyrie is back. We didn't know if he was coming back. You know, those guys scored a ton of points. You know, James Harden, triple-double.
The Brooklyn Nets suck.
Like, that's how it's going to be spun.
So, yeah, but the non-big three on the other team scored 147 points.
Like, I already saw, like, this Bill Reiter, who works over at CBS Sports Radio, writes for CBSSports.com, his headline, big three, just getting started. They're just getting started, these guys.
So what would have happened had they won last night? As opposed to having, if they would have won last night, not only are they just getting started, man, they're off and running. That would have been the headline.
Oh, it would have been like, watch out, Lakers, take notice of Nets. Could be best team ever to play. Like, yeah, but no, that didn't happen. Scored a bunch of points. Sure, all those guys were out there, but they lost.
I'll tell you what, it will be. I can't wait until they play the Lakers because the Lakers have bigs that play defense and rebound.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just want to see what that's like.
As long as LeBron is still at the top of his game and he hasn't slipped really yet, I mean, the Lakers are going to be favored in that series. They will be. They just will.
Do you think they get to that series, or do you think Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks make a trade and add somebody else, like a Julius Randle or something, and say, let's go?
Interesting thought. I do think that the Nets will make it to the finals. I do. That's where I sit here right now. I think that's probably it.
Wouldn't that be great if they didn't?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they didn't, it'd be a total disaster. If they lost the finals, it'd be a disaster. But if they didn't make it, they get knocked out in the first round by, like, Orlando.
Let me just use my NBA NBA lingo. The ball skills and the length and the shooting touch and the ISOs are all there. You see it all.
Mm. You don't know, so shut your mouth. You have no idea what you're talking about.
But when we come back on the other end of the court, there's nothing. There's no effort. There's no nothing. Just like, let the guy shoot. Yeah, right. The rebound. We'll go down and score again.
Right. They're just banking on missed shots on the other end. That's it.
It's going to be amazing.
All right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
We've got CeeLo in today. Jerry's got Rutgers and Penn State. So good luck to the Rutgers basketball team and Jerry Recco as that whole deal is continuing, which is great. College basketball, let's get to the tournament, man. I can't have 2 years in a row with no NCAA tournament. So with Jerry out, CeeLo's going to give us the update and tell us about what happened with the Nets and the Cavs last night. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, fellas. And yeah, no shortage of offense last night in Cleveland, but that certainly applied to Colin Sexton and the Cavaliers, too.
Sexton moving out top. He's feeling it. Durant on him defensively. Sexton, little swagger, steps back. Yo-yos at five to shoot, launches a three, and he knocks it down. Incredible performance here in overtime by Colin Sexton.
Double overtime at that point. Chris Carino with the call here on the fan. That's probably what it sounded like up there somewhere in Westchester late last night. Three of his 15 points in the second extra session. He led all scorers with 42 as the Cavs pulled away in double OT. A 147-135 win over these new look Nets. First game for the big three of Durant, Harden, and Irving. They combined for 96 points and some other gaudy stats, but Steve Nash's team simply allowed too many points.
We had breakdowns all over the place. We got a lot of work to do. I think that's we know that. We know that we have a very offensive team right now.
I also have a team that isn't as deep following the Harden trade, and that showed in this one, a four-man bench. But other than Joe Harris, not many minutes played. They combined for 10 points on 4 of 24 shooting, a collective minus 40 on the floor last night. So that meant heavy minutes for the starters, thanks to double OT.
You could you know, say that that was the wrong decision. But you could also say we gave ourselves a chance and had a three-point lead with a few seconds left in overtime.
And that's where Sexton buried another three to retie the game and force another 5 minutes. A lot of floor time for Kyrie in his return from the seven-game personal reasons absence.
Honestly, too long. The two OTs for the first game back. Man, hey, you gotta love NBA basketball, bro.
He was pretty sharp, though. 37 points on 15 of 28 shooting. Harden had another triple-double, his second in three games with Brooklyn, and Durant finished with 38 points, just two assists shy of his own triple-double.
When you think about their numbers they put up.
Oh, yeah. And still losing?
It's unbelievable. Oh, man.
Here's Durant. He says he knows they're going to be just fine in the long run.
This journey together is going to be fun. You know, it was a tough first start, and especially it was an up and down game for us. But, you know, I like where we are.
And they'll get another shot at the Cavs tomorrow night, a rematch once again that'll take place in Cleveland. Meantime, the 7-8 Knicks begin a four-game Western swing tonight in San Francisco, visiting the Warriors.
Isn't just classic, though? That Colin Sexton, who was a guy that the Knicks were interested in that draft. Like, he was tied to the Knicks in that draft, and there were articles written about it. Colin Sexton selected by the Cavs right before the Kevin Knox pick. So as Colin Sexton is taking down what could be the most talented team ever assembled in the history of the NBA, we're over here happy if Kevin Knox hits two threes in a row without missing one in between. it's another one of those stories. Another one, add that to the Donovan Mitchell mix. And I know that Colin Sexton right now isn't like an MVP candidate, but just seeing that last night and remembering that draft is just another example of the Knicks and the draft and where they could be if they made better decisions and where they are now.
Well, that's why maybe Emmanuel Quickley is going to be that.
Let's hope.
You know, he is already shown flashes that he could really be something special. So I don't know. Maybe they got it right this time.
Yeah, I mean, Obi Toppin would be nice to get it right, too, because he was selected ahead of him.
Yeah, but he's
him,
been
right?
hurt. He's been in and out, you know. But at least Emmanuel Quickley, we've seen. He
sure.
can shoot. He can, he'll drive. He's got a great, you know, he's got great ball handling skills. He sees the court. All those things that you want, you see it on full display. And I was reading about Jeff Van Gundy was talking about that kid saying, man, whoever got him right, they should, you know, make sure he makes more picks.
Yeah, I bet you it was Steve Stout. I bet you he was the guy who scouted him. Yeah.
Right.
Knicks will face a Warriors team that beat the Spurs last night, 121-99. Steph Curry, 26 points, a couple of assists shy of a triple-double. Back-to-back wins for the Dubs to get to 8-6. Elsewhere, Joel Embiid, an early MVP candidate, 42 points, 10 rebounds. Sixers beat the Celtics down in Philadelphia, 117-109. And in Minnesota, the rookie Cole Anthony sending the Magic past the Timberwolves.
Rebounded by Anthony. 2 seconds left. Anthony for the win.
Got it!
Gives the Magic a victory. Improbable. Unbelievable. In Minneapolis.
David Steele, Magic Radio Network, game-winning three ball there as Orlando topped the Timberwolves 97-96. A couple of other things, and then we'll get to this stuff with Summers from the overnight because I'm interested to get your take. As far as looking ahead to NFL Championship Sunday, everyone monitoring the status of Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid said he took all the snaps in practice yesterday and feels good. He was officially limited, though. They did basically a walkthrough, so he's still in the concussion protocol and has some other stages to get through before he is cleared to play Sunday against the Bills. You had Drew Brees' wife coming out on Instagram, lengthy posts kind of about the emotions of the year and the challenges as they faced, but she did reveal that I guess his injuries were worse than reported. So a torn fascia in his foot and then also a torn rotator cuff.
Do you think he told her to put that out there?
I was wondering the same question. I had the same question.
She did it on her own. And the thing about it is, you know, in this.
We know that?
Yeah, because she wants to defend her husband, and I get it. I totally understand it. And by the way, now we understand why he had a noodle arm, you know, because he was dealing with all these injuries.
So you are agreeing with me that he had a noodle arm?
I'm agreeing with you that he was injured and his arm wasn't nearly as strong as it had been, yes.
Yeah, so also noodle arm and selfishness because there are other guys there on the roster that could have played and probably at a higher level in a playoff game. So he's too hurt to play, you know. So I would have sat there. I would have said, hey, coach, listen, man, I'm on my way out. You got some young bucks here. You got Jameis Winston who got his LASIK eye surgery. He's been studying the playbook. I know he's been working hard. He got Taysom here. You know, and he's someone who I know has had his own injuries, but, you know, we'll get him up to speed, get him out there.
You know,
no sympathy from GM.
You know, I love you, man. I do love you. You know, I know Drew Brees. You're no Drew Brees. So don't even, you know, compare yourself to him.
How am I comparing myself to Drew Brees?
Well, you just acted like Drew Brees, and you were talking like you wanted Drew Brees to talk. So.
Yeah. Well,
and I mean,
I'm not saying that my life is Drew Brees' life.
It's a hot oven mitt take. I get it.
It's not.
You know, he played, and he's 40. What, 2 years old? Had the 11 broken ribs, by the way, that we tend to forget about. Also had the
punctured lung.
He had the plantar fasciitis, which I've had, and you know how painful that can be. And it's really the reason why I retired when I did.
It's more of a Saints take than anything else. It's just that they are, every time they get bounced early in the playoffs, it's excuse after excuse. Oh, there's a push-off. Oh, it's a terrible call. Oh, Drew Brees was hurt. It just shut up and take your medicine. Like, Michael Thomas, oh, he's got the million surgeries he's got to have. Like, stop. Like, nobody was talking about that going into the game. Michael Thomas practiced the entire week. He was never on the injury report. Then he goes out there and gets goose eggs all around, and now he needs 15 surgeries after the season?
Well, you know why they don't put that stuff? Well, they should be fine for not putting whatever injury they may be having or dealing with because they're required to in the NFL. But I will say that they tried to limit the amount of information that they put out there so players don't have targets on their back.
I just don't know how the Saints have earned this type of respect where everybody makes excuses for them after the season's over.
571 touchdown passes and over 80,000 yards thrown.
Right, okay.
And the amount of games he played and the fact...
But I'm talking about the Saints, not just Drew Brees. I know, but like
you're the one who called Drew Brees a noodle arm.
He did have a noodle arm.
Because he was injured. Now
okay.
We know. I mean, like the way you were saying yesterday, you didn't put the injury in there. You just said he's got a noodle arm.
Yeah, listen, you got a noodle arm, you got a noodle arm.
When you are the leader of the team and you have to go out there and play injured, you go out there and play injured. Remember when Philip Rivers had to do that for the Chargers when they went up to New England?
Yeah.
Now ACL, right?
Right. Well, LaDainian Tomlinson also had a torn ACL. He couldn't play. A running back can't play with a torn ACL. But for some reason, A.J. Brown played with all those injuries down in Tennessee, you know, this year. And he had all these surgeries after the fact.
Yeah, he played well, right? Though.
So you're the leader of the team, and you go out there, and you lay your body. You literally, mm-hmm. I mean, they're getting paid really well. And right. It's a fun thing, and you wouldn't want to do it unless, you know, you were very good at doing it and you wanted to be in the middle of it. So both quarterbacks have shown that over their course of their careers that they would fight through all these things. And Philip Rivers has never missed a game in 14 years.
Yeah.
14 straight years.
Yeah, sure. I'm not talking about
just like Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Started every single game. That in itself is a major accomplishment.
No, for sure. No, I'm not talking about those guys. But you're right. I mean, I really feel bad for the Saints and their fans. You know, it's just they've had a lot of bad luck. They really have with the injuries and the referees out to get them. And Roger Goodell really does hate that team. I mean, with the bounty gate and everything, it's just clear. So yeah. I do feel bad for the Saints and their fans. Okay. I'm sorry, Boomer. I was wrong about that. You know, they really deserve more down there in Louisiana. Give me a break. Frauds. Get out of here. I'm sick of that.
Frauds.
Total frauds.
Well, they're not.
Listen, but... Kirk Cousins went down there and had a fourth quarter comeback and beat him. That's all you need to know. That guy. The greatest moment in his career happened at the Superdome in a playoff game. And that guy is one of the, you know how I feel about him. So
I understand. I understand you have to have like these impassioned responses to these things. I'm just
what
telling
do you have to have? I don't have you, to have. I just, this is the way I see it.
I know, but it's just, it's not that easy.
Well, okay, that's
it's
fine.
It's not that easy. If it were that
everybody
easy,
everybody gets compared.
Dan Marino would have 10, you know, Super Bowl trophies.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, if people are making excuses for Dan Marino and they were back then or whatever, maybe I would have said the same thing. I mean, I'm talking about the Saints as a whole, the last number of years. It's never about them. It's never about how they didn't get it done. It's about how everything else has conspired against them, and it's bad luck. It's injuries, it's referees, it's this, it's that. You know, take some responsibility that you're not good enough.
Well, this year, Drew Brees basically said, you know, I can't throw those interceptions, and if I don't throw those interceptions, we don't lose. You know, the same thing happened.
But
you know, Cleveland.
Then a day later, the guy's basically, you know, everything in his body doesn't work.
So
this is my point.
Cleveland beats Pittsburgh. Okay.
Yeah, they kill
him. They kill him. And the reason they killed him is because Ben Roethlisberger played like crap. And because they had the initial snap over his head and it goes in the end zone. And going into the next game, I was saying that Patrick Mahomes is not going to turn the ball over like Ben Roethlisberger turned the ball over. So Cleveland is not going to have the offensive output that they had against Pittsburgh, because they're not going to be giving the ball on their own on the opponent's 30-yard line.
Yeah,
a short field.
Yeah,
right. And they never got the short field.
That's right.
So it's the same thing. Like Brady going into Green Bay this week. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be turning the ball over the way that the New Orleans Saints just turned the ball over last week. Just not going to do it.
Yeah,
you know, because he doesn't have a noodle arm.
Right. No,
because he's not injured.
No, absolutely. That's right. I agree with all of that. I have a problem with the Saints.
Yeah, I can tell.
We know.
I'm sorry. I just want to understand.
I just question, and I hope you're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think that you're smart enough not to do this.
What's that?
Do not question the toughness of Drew Brees.
No, I didn't. I was actually saying that the smart thing to do would be to give the ball to somebody else because he clearly wasn't healthy enough to play.
Put the team above yourself.
That's what I would have done. I'm not questioning the toughness of Drew Brees. Absolutely not. Too tough, actually.
I do speak from some level of credibility in this regard.
Yeah, I get it.
So when you are the main man and you're getting paid that much money and you are the leader of that team, you know, before the game, he's out there pumping up his teammates and everything.
Doesn't a real leader put his team in the best position to win?
You got
to
be out there. And you got to be playing. That's just
best throw of the game came from the backup quarterback.
That is the response. Yeah, and the guys were wide open. You could have thrown that.
Well, okay, still was the best throw of the game.
Yeah, well, you could have thrown that. Great play call.
Drew couldn't have. He would have made it.
I don't think Gio could have made it.
Oh, I actually, hey, stop.
I know.
I'm slow. I pull muscles. I don't want to do any physical activity, mm-hmm. but I still got a little bit of an arm.
Yeah.
I still have a little
How
bit of an arm.
How far can you chuck it? An NFL-size football.
NFL-size football.
I'm going to say no more than 25 yards.
No, I definitely could. You know me in self-awareness. All I do is beat myself up for the things I can't do. Trust me.
When's the last time you stepped out on a field with yard markers and threw a football? That's what I want to know.
Probably not recently. That was probably a couple of years. I throw a football every summer. At the beach, we're throwing. We play games. And I still got a little bit of an arm.
What size hand do you have?
So when we were measuring hands, Boomer actually wrote all of this down when we did this, but I had the second largest hand out of everybody on the show, only to Boomer,
obviously.
Yeah, well,
that's not saying much. I mean, you look at the rest of the guys.
I understand, but I'm just trying to create I do not have the smallest hands. So I can chuck it a little bit. I can't do anything else, CeeLo. I'm not trying to say I'm some sort
of... But, like, would you need, like, you know, six steps
no.
to step into that deep throw?
I could
be able to just uncork that thing?
I'd be able to throw the ball over 25 yards.
Mm. I agree.
By standing there. I'm not saying 50.
He has a noodle arm, but that noodle arm could get it at least 25 yards.
Boomer, definitely. If you had a rank after you on the members of the program, CeeLo, Jerry included as well, who would throw the ball the farthest? Would you do
CeeLo
over Gio?
Yeah,
I think we're gonna have to get to the bottom of that.
No, I mean CeeLo is an athlete. I mean, you saw him play shortstop. You see how he plays.
Yeah, but he might have a small hand. That NFL football, when you're used to playing Nerf football, you get a real NFL football on your hand. That looks like a basketball.
That is true.
Playing Nerf football. Now we're talking about Nerf football and noodle arms.
Yeah, I will say this, Al. I am not a tall man. I'm only 5'7". The hands are bigger than you'd expect for my height.
I'll
leave it at that.
Okay.
Not saying they're huge, but for my height.
Disproportionately large hands.
Hands are decent size.
For your small stature.
I would go CeeLo first, Al second.
What?
Oh, wow.
Gio third.
Disrespect right there.
Eddie's got a... Eddie...
Thank you.
You don't throw well, Eddie. Let's face it. I mean, like, you have a hard time throwing.
See,
back
I think you're dead wrong about this. You got
to
remember.
And then I think I'd have to go Jerry then Eddie.
Well, Jerry's got, you know, some physical ailments.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Ellie.
Yeah.
But Jerry was a quarterback.
I'll take that, Jones. I actually can throw.
Oh, wow. All
right. I had a problem there with my shoulder, but that's okay now.
Oh,
Eddie.
Excuses.
Same question though. When did you last grip an NFL sized football?
In the office here.
Eh, okay. All right.
So that's how I would do it. I would do CeeLo.
All right.
Al.
I heard you.
Gio, Jerry, Eddie.
I'm a little bit disappointed here. I think you're taking my Drew Brees take out on me here. I don't think it's fair. I'm telling you, you got to remember, I'm like, 12, 13 years younger than Al. I got a little more, less wear and tear in this bad boy right now.
Yeah, but Al was a quarterback for a co-ed flag football team.
That's true.
I saw him ripping balls down the field.
I'm sure they were using NFL-sized footballs in that league, right, Al?
Not exactly.
Yeah, not exactly. Yeah, that's why he's bringing up Nerf footballs, I'd imagine. We're going to hear from the new Jets head coach today. Robert Saleh will meet the media. It's a Zoom presser right around 2 o'clock, and then he's going to join Carton and Roberts here on The Fan right around 4:30, and then you guys will get to speak with him tomorrow right around 8 o'clock. So he will be facing the music, a lot of questions to answer, an exciting time for Jet fans. Speaking of which, the Deshaun Watson rumblings don't seem like they're going to go away anytime soon. The Jet fans are like foaming at the mouth for the possibility of him ending up here. So Steve Summers, I guess, did some deep digging on Watson, who he is, what he's about, what makes him tick. So he went to his Twitter account and he found that Watson along the way likes to tweet out lyrics from rappers that he likes. And Steve decided that we should get all of these rappers, Drake included, and get them involved in a campaign to bring Watson to the New York, New Jersey area. And he started breaking some of this down on his show overnight.
Lyrics from rappers like Lil Uzi Vert and YFN Lucy Feet Bigger Rankin.
And obviously, some of these names are quite foreign to him. He's not familiar with their work. And he was trying to figure out some of this in real time.
And I don't even know what YFN, it could be your friend, Lucy Feet Bigger Rankin. Now, I don't know if that's one person or a group, but they rap. And he quotes from them. They did a song called Destined, and he tweeted some lyrics from their song, Destined. Never take advice from a person who don't love you. You gotta walk light, gotta stay above water.
Reminds me of when, and may he rest in peace, Alex Trebek would read the rap lyrics as the clue on Jeopardy. I mean, it's just, it's great.
It's fun, priceless, actually.
Yes, priceless, yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at some of the YFN Lucci. I'm assuming not Lucy.
That's what they were discussing that. He asked Fliegelman, do we think it's Lucy or Lucci?
I would think it was Lucci, Lucci sort of like was, Gucci is what I would
that
think.
That was the vote on the overnight as well,
yeah,
yes.
But I'm glad Summers didn't get to this album. He's got a song called Every Day We Lit off the album Long Live Nut. So, Fliegelman, go get the album Long Live Nut. We'll use it as bumper music. And then that will attract Deshaun Watson to the Jets. Don't forget the 1-877.
That was like sending, you know, Donnie Walsh and Mayor Bloomberg to go get LeBron. God.
Oh,
man, where is Mayor Bloomberg? Get him back in office, please.
Seriously. Yeah. That's great. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if we can get in touch with Drake and YFN Lucci or any of that, but I kind of like the idea.
I thought
there,
Drake, Steve, was up in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean,
but get Steve Stout on this.
I actually think, like, Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant and James Harden are two guys that Deshaun Watson knows and is friendly with that are both here now.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about really recruiting a guy here, that's exactly the type of person you'd want because they're athletes, high level, and they move from a different place, one of them from Houston. That would be the guy that could convince Deshaun Watson to come to New York because they did it.
Well, his agency wants him here.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if his agency's in town, and they are, and,
right,
you know, they're all taking pictures and photos, and he's liking Instagrams. Hey, where there's smoke, there's fire. The guy wants to come. Now, Richard Sherman on Chris Collinsworth's podcast, they do something together, basically said, look, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I try to get out of Houston, I try to get to New York with Rob Saleh.
That's what he said. He did say that.
And you know, that's what I would do if it were me. But it's really, to me, it's like, you accepted this huge contract from Houston. You've had one bad year, and you're ready to, like, just jump ship.
Yeah, well, I do think that organization's got some issues. He might have a valid statement there, but I'm glad he's trying to jump ship, and I hope he jumps his ship here to New York. I mean, you know, Drake doesn't
care. I'm pumped. I'm psyched.
Thanks, Mike. You know, I think that Drake doesn't care if Deshaun Watson is a Jet. Little Uzi Vert doesn't care if Deshaun Watson is a Jet.
Uzi Vert.
Right, but I do think that James Harden and Kevin Durant would care that Deshaun Watson was a Jet.
James Harden especially.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure they're all repped by the same company. I wouldn't be surprised they all have the same reps.
Yeah, maybe. We'll look into it. All right, CeeLo, we appreciate that. We'll hear more from you in just a little bit.
Interesting. You know, you're going to ask Rob Saleh, hey, Rob, you know, you want, you know, Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, or you want Sam Darnold as your quarterback?
I'm sure he's got already.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's already got a prepared answer for that.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Phillip Rivers retiring. That means that the Indianapolis Colts need to figure out their quarterback position. I mean, I can't imagine that the Texans and Colts are going to make a deal for Deshaun Watson, but you got to think about some of these other teams that could.
There's no way that the Texans would ever send him within the division.
It's not going to happen. So you got to think, though, some of these other openings, you know, where a guy could go, what makes sense. You know, we've talked about the Jets and Deshaun Watson, how it does make sense. The Miami Dolphins and Deshaun Watson, how that makes sense. Maybe the San Francisco 49ers, depending on what they want to do with Jimmy Garoppolo and Deshaun Watson, could make some sense. But outside of those three, I don't know if there is another place that really is a legitimate landing spot for him.
Well, all right, so let's take into account the salary cap's going to go down. He's got a big contract coming up. Let's also take into account that I would imagine his financial advisors are going to tell him that if you force a trade to New Jersey, which it is, or California, you have to understand the tax ramifications of that. That is a big part of it, I'm telling you. He's still a young man. He's going to get another big contract after this one. I mean, if he could choose to go where he wants to go, I mean, despite what Richard Sherman said, and I know Richard Sherman is big on Saleh here, you would think that Miami would be the team where if he goes in there right now, they are definitely a playoff team. They are definitely, I mean, they almost
should have been a 20-year playoff team this year.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and they're in a division with Josh Allen. I don't care whatever division he goes to, there'll be somebody else in that division that he'll have to go up against twice each year, maybe even three times, as was the case with New Orleans and Tampa. Look, the guy is a difference maker the moment he steps on the field. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal just offensive player. Just it oozes offense and confidence.
Oozer.
You ask the kids at Clemson, ask the guys that he plays with in Houston, they'll tell you that. The question is when does he, you know, push the nuclear button where Houston has no choice but to trade him?
Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Long Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. Gio, I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
I'm a Knicks fan and a Jet fan.
Okay.
And I know how you were dead against players forcing themselves out of teams like Harden did.
Yep.
And now Watson's doing the same thing, and you're all in on it.
Well, hold on. I still don't like it, Joe. I don't like that players do this. I think it's horrendous. And by the way, Deshaun Watson hasn't gone about it anywhere near the way that James Harden or Jamal Adams has done it yet. Now, the thing that Boomer just said before I took the call was, when does Deshaun Watson go nuclear on the Houston Texans? And he hasn't done that yet. Now, I hate it. It bothers me. There is a problem there. But here are the differences between James Harden and Deshaun Watson. And I'll tell you. One, the Houston Texans organization right now really is in shambles. They've got all sorts of weird stuff going on. They put people in charge who shouldn't be put in charge. The owner is creating an atmosphere with this Jack Easterby that is toxic. They don't have a head coach. It's different. The Houston Rockets did everything they possibly could have to make James Harden happy. Brought in all sorts of players. Offered him more money than anybody in the NBA. Tried to make him happy. He didn't show up to training camp and then was torpedoing his teammates there in Houston. That is a hell of a lot different. And by the way, Deshaun Watson's teammates of the highest profile variety in J.J. Watt are apologizing to Deshaun Watson for wasting one of his prime years.
Plus, you also have Andre Johnson, the former great wide receiver, who very rarely gets involved and is still an ambassador for the Houston Texans.
Right, one of their great players.
Right. Also, publicly just killing what's going on down there in Houston. Now, I tried to explain yesterday. I think a lot of that is all blown out of proportion now because they have the general manager in place, Nick Caserio, from New England.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the guy there that is now running the football side of the building. The business side of the building is a whole other story. I talked to a couple people in the NFL yesterday. They still do not believe at this moment that Deshaun Watson is going to be moved from Houston because it would just absolutely kill their fan base. And, again, like I told you about Sam Darnold and Adam Gase, eventually the business side of the building is going to the owner and saying, look, we can't sell this. Our fans do not want this. They are tired of this. The Houston Texans are in the opposite situation where Deshaun Watson is the selling point. And the fans are going to march so they don't lose Deshaun Watson.
Sure. Now, to me, on the surface, if you're the caller or think the same way, you think this is the same thing. I don't see it the same way to this point. Now, Deshaun Watson could get to a point where he is really, really just off the deep end and you can't do anything and you have to trade him. That's the only way you can do it. But Jamal Adams, he also, think about what he did. He was, I'm trying to get to Dallas in a video. He went to Manish Mehta to trash Adam Gase to be able to force himself out. Those things stink. They absolutely stink. Now, if Deshaun Watson starts doing some of that stuff, yeah, it's not going to sit well with me. But right now, the way I see it is that Deshaun Watson went out there and played his ass off all the time. James Harden did not, and those are the two comparisons I had. James Harden's teammates were insulted, they were disrespected, and they said that. Go to Deshaun Watson's teammates and ask them what they think. Is it a Deshaun Watson problem or is it a Houston Texans problem? And I know what they'll tell you.
But I think the Houston Texans, from the organizational standpoint, have finally cleaned it up and they got the guy that they wanted last year. And Bill Belichick wouldn't let him go. So they finally got the guy that they've wanted to come in and clean all of this up. And yeah, they have to make a lot of tough decisions on a lot of players because as of right now where we sit, $20 million over the salary cap for next year. So there's going to be a lot of movement around. There's going to be a lot of different contracts. And there's dead cap issues with Deshaun Watson that you have to take into account. In other words, this is not just like, let's go trade for Deshaun Watson. There's a lot of gymnastics that has to be done before that can happen. But I think it really has to start with him first.
Yeah.
If he goes to the Texans and says, I want out of here, now he hamstrings the Texans because he has a no-trade clause. He may have to go to the Texans and say, I want out, and these are the two teams that I'm willing to go play for. Try to make a deal with them. That's what would have to happen.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
To start this whole process.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.